Thank you, ladies, for leading us in worship, and Michelle for giving us some updates about what happens here in our goings-on here at Overijssel, some of the ladies' things, what they're involved in, some of the efforts that we take here. The micropantry was mentioned. We're trying to set up a little coffee shop. We're trying to continue to reach our community, and so we hope that you will be a part of those things. So thank you, ladies, for blessing us in worship this morning. Last week, we began this series on identity. It is one of those things that is quite talked about in different ways in our society right now, the way people identify themselves. We talked last week a bit about different ways that people identify themselves. I think Bev said, and she's got it on again, Bev wants to be found, she's got another blue shirt on. I see Leon is still old and bald, so I don't know if that was the way you said it, but that's what stuck in my head anyway. We looked at some of the different ways, shape and size and height and color of our skin and ethnicity, all these different things about ways that we identify, but we looked at, too, that the basis of our identity goes all the way back to when God began to speak and he created all things and he said, I have made mankind in my image. And at the end of all of that, when he had created everything, everything that we see that exists in our world, you and I exist because God has created us and he created us in his image. And he said at the end of that, it is very good. What a wonderful thing to know of what God has done, that what he created was very good. How many of you listened to the news this past week? Yes. Does it still sound very good? It doesn't. Something happened that caused our world to go from very good, this beautiful, perfect state where the Creator God dwelled with his people in a place where everything was perfect always. How did we get from there to here? And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to try to figure out what happens when somebody writes or wants to tell you a different story. We've been lied to for so long. That's been part of the basis of why the world is the way it is and why it continues to be the way it is. Lies are being spread. You can probably come up with all kinds of different lies that come to mind when you think about that, whether they're political lies or health lies or lies from neighbor to neighbor or family members or about your own self or what the car dealer said about your car when you bought it. This one's going to last forever. All kinds of lies get spread around. Some of the lies are about you. And I think all of us have heard some of those lies. And some of us wrestle with those things. You're not worth very much. You don't have significance in the world. And maybe you've heard that lie because of there's something about you. Maybe there's a something physical about you that others would say, well, you don't have much value then. You're not as valuable as so-and-so because of the way you look. Maybe, as it's been said in the past, you're not valuable as valuable as others because of your race. There have been lots of troubles with that whole idea of not being valued because you are a certain race. It still continues in our world today. There are all kinds of things that creep in for lies that way. There are lies that people have heard that says what you've done in the past will continue to plague you as who you are. You cannot escape what you've done in the past. Anybody here perfect? Me either. And I'm assuming a lot of us would not want our deepest, darkest secret to be known. Because if it were, it would change the way somebody views you. I know it would me. I'm sure if people's worst sins were revealed here, you wouldn't want to know people to know that. If there were a murderer among us, and that was known, people would probably always think of that person as somebody that had committed murder. You just can't escape that. Maybe you remember a man named David from a long time ago. We're talking 4,000 years, maybe 3 or 4,000 years ago. He was a king at the time. Anybody know who I'm talking about? King David, yeah? If you raised your hand, and I saw two way in the back there, so I'm gonna count on the two of you. What is David known for that just doesn't seem to leave him? His affair. Anything else? He's a man of God. He defeated Goliath. As a result of his affair, what happened, Larry? Put you on the spot. Someone got killed, yes. After his affair, David had the husband of the woman that he had an affair with killed. Those two things specifically continue to cloud the name of David. And yet, David was called a man after God's own heart. There's something about David that also has changed his identity in some ways. He's not just an adultering murderer. He is a man of God, somebody after God's own heart. But there are lies that people will tell you or want to spread that what you've done in the past, you can't escape either, and you will always be known for that. And those are some of the lies. You may say, well, because of those kinds of things, I'm damaged goods. Maybe you were raised in a situation where abuse was a part of that, and because of that, you believe that you are damaged goods, and there is just no hope for you. Maybe you believe the lie that money will solve all of my problems. There are so many examples throughout history, and even in our own time, where people that had the most money lived such troubled lives. Money didn't seem to buy them happiness. It didn't seem to solve the problems of their life. Sometimes it creates more. But maybe you've heard that lie that if you just had more money, as if money will solve it all, because money promises a lot of things. Happiness, contentment, security, all these things. Until the stock market crashes, or your house burns down, or all your assets are lost, or the bank that you have your money in goes under and there's nothing to secure it, or inflation, as in other countries around the world, just makes your money worthless. We hear these lies about money solving our problems. Maybe you've believed or heard the lie that my sin is not as bad as other people's sin. Maybe if we're grading on the curve, I'm not the murderer. Maybe I'm not even the adulterer. Maybe I'm just a gossip. Just a gossip. Maybe I have lied or stolen. Maybe I have been disrespectful. You can go on and on and on with the list of different sins and say, well, mine's not as bad as so-and-so's. And we elevate ourselves based on how we see other people. There's also lies that we've been told about God, too. God doesn't know me or doesn't care about me. And somehow, people that have heard that lie think that they don't have that value to this great God because there's no way he can know me, not little old me. Of all the important people that there are in the world, especially those that may give their lives in devotion to him, how could he possibly know me? How does he even see me? Or of the billions of people on the planet, and that's just one planet here, when he knows everything around the universe, how could he possibly know me or care about me, especially if he knew what I had done? And so he couldn't love someone like me. Maybe that comes out of that idea that you're not worth much. So if you're not worth much, you're not worth loving either. It's the lies that are out there about God. God may forgive other people's sins, but he couldn't forgive mine. Oh no. I think that God has grace and mercy on other people, but if you knew my sins, there's no way that God would forgive me. Maybe you believe this lie that God's ways are too restrictive. Right? This whole idea of being a follower of Christ, believing in what it says in the Bible and following that, that's just way too restrictive. I want to have a life that's fun. I want to enjoy life. And what I see in Scripture is this narrowing set of rules that leads me to be just a goody-two-shoes that doesn't have any fun in life. And those lies continue. Those lies are constantly in the world today for various reasons. But that's one of the lies. Here's one of the big ones, I think, that one of the big lies about God. It's kind of a twisted way of bringing it. If God was good, then why doesn't he... And you fill in the blank. That's questioning the goodness of God. If he truly was good, then why doesn't God end this, bring that, stop this? Why doesn't he intervene here? Why does he allow for farmers to lose their crops, hurricanes to destroy places, people to be shot down in the street? Why doesn't he do something? So obviously God can't be good if these things continue in our world. Those are just some of the ways in which these lies come about. And I know many of you are familiar with those types of lies, especially when it comes to yourself. Those can be challenging to get through. If you are in that place where you have heard the lie about your value, when it's said by other people, it's usually because they're making a judgment that somehow they're better than you. That's a lie that they believe. They are comparing you and them, and they find more value in themselves than they do you. So you might hear the lie that because of whatever it is in your life, a position that you hold in a job, well, they don't have, all they do is work on a line someplace. He's only a farmer. He's only a truck driver. He's not an accountant. He's not a lawyer. He's not a doctor. She's not a teacher. She's not they're only that, so you're not as valuable as other people. That always comes by way of somebody trying to elevate themselves, thinking that what they are is better, more important, more significant. And that means that they then become the judge of what's good and what's bad, what's valuable and what's not, the level of value. We keep hearing lies like that. And then going back again to that last lie about God, if he was good, why doesn't he intervene in my life? If you talk to me about this God who is so personal, that knows me so well, that created me, that I am made in His image, why doesn't He do something in my life? If God was good. That kind of brings us to this place of where last week we looked at the origin of identity. Today we're going to look at the origin of lies. I want to read what it says right after what we read last week. Last week we read from the opening chapter of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. Today I'm going to read from Genesis chapter 3. This was immediately after this good and perfect description of the world and God's communion and fellowship and interaction with all that He had created. Genesis chapter 3 starts out this way. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Now the serpent, and we know later from Scripture that it's talking about the devil there. The serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" Because at this point, God had given instructions to them about where their food would come from. God was the provider of everything for them. The environment that they would live, the food that they would have. Everything was provided by God. But God had given them one caution and restriction in that for a very good purpose. He said, "Hey, did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" Verse 2 says, "The woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" God had provided everything. He brought everything into existence. He gave them instructions on how to maintain this right and good and perfect relationship with Him. And the only thing He said is, "Don't eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the middle of the garden. That one is off limits to you." So the devil comes in and said, "Did God really say you can't eat from any tree? Well, that sounds restrictive, doesn't it? You can't eat from any tree." One, he twisted the truth. It's not what God said. Eve said, "No, we can eat from every tree except for the one. Because if we eat from that one, God said that we would die." So, she rebutted the devil fairly well. But then the devil came back again and said, "Well, you're not going to die. Because actually, what God is saying, that if you would eat from it, you would be like Him. And He doesn't want you to be like Him. He wants to withhold from you something good." And so the devil again twists what Adam and Eve were supposed to understand about why that tree was off limits. The odd thing about the devil is he doesn't have very many tricks. He only has a few things in his playbook to come against people. One is to lie to them. Don't tell them the truth. Confuse them. Make them wonder. Make them doubt. Make them question themselves. Make them question God. If God is good, why doesn't He want you to have that? I thought He made everything very good. So the devil comes in and begins to spread these lies. Jesus would talk about the devil later on, when Jesus began to walk here on earth and began to grow his disciples and his ministry, bringing about the truth once again, reiterating that he is the origin of truth. He said this in the book of John chapter 8. He's speaking of the devil here. This is what he says about him. This is Jesus telling his listeners what the identity is of the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Every time the devil would utter anything, he lies to you. Even when Jesus was tempted by him, as Jesus was about to start his earthly ministry, he faced temptations. He faced lies from the devil. And every time, even when the devil used Scripture, he would use it in such a way that it was not used to bring about the truth. He wanted to twist it in a different way. It's just the way he is. If you ever hear anything from him, it's a lie. And he continues to perpetuate that. Sometimes he brings those lies about as if, you know, the old cartoons where you have somebody sitting on either shoulder, whether it's an angel or whatever, there's these two voices. Sometimes when you hear the lies of the devil, it's just that voice that you hear that tells you you're not good enough, you don't have value, you're not significant, that God isn't this way or that way. It's just this inner voice that you hear. Those are lies from him. Sometimes, though, he speaks through other people that have been deceived as well. And somebody will say to you, because they've also bought a lie, well, you're not, or you'll never, or God isn't, or God is, and then make God to be somebody that he's not. Sometimes he speaks through other people that have been deceived as well. And that gets to be a challenge. But those people are not the people that we are at war with here in our existence. It's the father of lies that wants to rob your true identity. And so you can't stop the lies from coming. You can't. As long as our world continues in its present state, people are going to lie to other people. And that little voice, at times, is still going to be speaking to you. You just can't stop the lies from coming. But you know, the lies are not the problem always. Sometimes the problem is that you listened to it. You believed it. You bought the lie that you're not as valuable as God has already said you are. That was the way it started. God said to Adam and Eve, I have made you in my image. We know that to be true. From the very opening page of Scripture, you have great significance because you were made in the image of God. We have an intimate and permanent connection to Him in a way that binds us to Him. Unless, of course, you, like Eve, not just heard the lie, but you bought the lie. After that story, when the serpent is there and speaking to Eve and she eats the fruit and she gives it to her husband Adam and he eats it, and then God, they realize at that moment something is terribly wrong. When they had gone against the plan and the command of God, his perfect will, they realized something right away was wrong. And so they hid. And God sought them out. Even though they had broken this perfect relationship, God sought them out. What happened? Well, we hid ourselves from you because we were afraid of you now. Fear came in and destroyed their relationship with the God who created them. And God said, well, what happened? And Eve said, well, the serpent deceived me. And what's not said there? He deceived me. I bought the lie. I believed what he said. And I ate the fruit. There will be times in your life when you are going to hear a lie about who you are, how much value you have. Are you significant or not? Do you have any hope in this world? Is there a way that you could possibly get back into right connection with other people and with God? And people will tell you lies, and you don't have to believe it. You don't have to. The lies will continue, but you can choose to listen to a different voice. You can understand that there is a battle that we will always face. I want you to listen to what the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 7. Paul lived years after Christ's death and resurrection. Paul had a personal encounter with Jesus and heard directly from him. And Paul talks about this struggle that we have in life. Romans 7, beginning at verse 21, this is from a different version. This is from the New Living Translation. He says, I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. That being a slave to sin comes about and came about in the beginning because we bought a lie that wasn't true. God's word was true. People have often questioned that because back in the beginning it said, God said, if in the day that you eat of that fruit, you will surely die. And the devil said, no, you won't. And Adam and Eve ate that fruit, and they walked and they lived for hundreds of years yet. And they didn't die physically. Spiritually, they were dead. They had broken that spiritual connection to God. And so there is within all of us this constant war that is waging on within us. I want to do good things, but I just can't seem to do it. I'm at war within this. And this is the identity that plagues us yet. As much as I would like to be everything that God desires of me, I'm still at war with the lies that I hear, and I at times buy the lie, and I go against the perfect plan of God. You can choose to hear what God says to you about in his creation. It's all in His book. There's so much in here. It's really a simple story. But God took a lot of time to tell people about this grand plan of His. And all throughout it, His plan continues. He has such great love for His creation. And He wants to bring it back to a place where everything is very good again. When it comes to your identity, there's two words that will help you understand the fullness of how to have that which was very good in the beginning, that which can be and will be very good in the end again, two words that will make the difference in all of that. In Christ. When you and I begin to realize that, as the song says, as the Heidelberg Catechism says, as we sang just before the message began, I am not my own. I was made by the perfect Creator, God, with a very perfect plan, that we would dwell together as people in perfect harmony. I still can't quite get to that place, because when I see people, it's like, well, I couldn't be in harmony with her or him. I know me. We're not compatible. But that's God's plan, that we would live together in perfect love and compatibility with one another and with the God who created us. That is His plan for us. If you have been duped, though, by the lies of the enemy, and it's caused you to behave in such a way, because what you believe about yourself, we said this last week, what you believe about yourself will change the way you behave. If you believe you are God's child, you will behave way different than if you believe the lies of the enemy. If you believe that, and you know that there's still this battle within you, what do you do? What's the answer? Now, some of you that maybe were following along in Romans 7, notice that I've skipped over something. It was the answer. In there, when it was talking about this constant battle between good and evil, and I want to do good, but I can't, and every time I try to do that, there's this force within me that just keeps beating me down, and I don't feel like I'm gaining any ground. Paul says, oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death, by the lies of the enemy who wants to steal your identity? The answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the answer to undo the lies of the enemy that wants to take away your true identity in Christ. That may be for some of you sitting here that have been a part of a church or this church all of your lives, and you still struggle with this identity issue. If that's who I am in Christ, our members here will know this, and I'm going to put you all on the spot. The visitors here maybe don't know this. If you want to know who you are in Christ, there's one particular chapter. I think I said this last week too, so refresh your quiz. There's one particular chapter in Scripture that I will point you to all the time that tells you of who you are in Christ. It is Ephesians chapter 1. If you have an identity crisis in your life as a believer in Jesus Christ, make sure that you go back to that chapter regularly and find out who you truly are. If you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, and you have bought the lie that you are not valuable, that somehow God doesn't care about you, or somehow this whole Christianity thing is just a bunch of bunk, but your world is still upside down and in turmoil all the time, read what it can be in Ephesians 1. It's such a wonderful identity to have if you are in Christ. Next week we're going to talk about how do you get there. How do you get from coming into this world and recognizing this cosmic battle within you, this dilemma that you have, that as much as I would like to do good, does anybody ever set out for the day and say, I just want to destroy the world that I live in. I want to do everything wrong. I hope not. But if you read the news, it seems like there's got to be a few of those people out there. But people don't come into the world that way. We come in wanting the good things of life. We want things to be right. That's why we rally against the injustice, because there should be a better way. Nobody comes into this world wanting to be bad and do bad all the time. But how do you get from, that's the condition of our world, that's where I find myself stuck, and I want to get to this place where, like it said in the beginning, everything was very good. And if you've heard enough about the Bible and the way of following Jesus Christ, there is going to be a very good, perfect and excellent coming in the future yet too. He has a plan to solve all the problems of the world. Only he does. Every other system does not deal with it. Maybe a little bit here, maybe a little bit there. The way of Jesus, the way of Scripture, deals with everything. If God is good, why doesn't he? He is. He is. And if you want to get from a messed up life and everything is out of control, make sure that you listen again next week. And if you can't wait, you may talk to me afterwards. It's worth not waiting for. Because to be in Christ will set your world straight. It isn't going to make it perfect yet, but the end result is. And that's where our true identity lies. And it overtakes the lies that the enemy wants to give you. Would you pray with me? Jesus, we thank you that you do have a way in which we can understand our world, ourselves, our worth, our significance, our purpose in this world, that you can actually still use us for the good of your kingdom. You have made it possible that people like me, people like those sitting here, people that are listening, you can use us in a way that will bring about your perfect end result. And so, Father, help us as we wrestle with our identity. And help us, Father, to not listen to the lies that go against who we can truly be in Christ. And so work in us. Work around us. Keep molding us and shaping us. Keep us from straying too far. And help us not to listen to the lies of the enemy. May your spirit prevail. May your plan prevail in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. There is much about our world that seems so uncertain and unstable. Every day, you wonder, how long is this going to continue? Because everything is just in this constant state of flux and spiraling out of control, when is it all going to end? And how do we navigate through to the very end safely? It's to stand on a solid rock. It'll be page 8 in your songbook. So if you could turn to that. And I would ask you, if you're able, to stand and sing about the solid rock.